Welcome everybody to Around Battleground. We are back after our extended hiatus. We took some time off. UGC is a company to do the Halo Classic. I was there. If you didn't see me, don't blame me. I had a small role on the floor, but incredibly thankful for UGC to fly me out. It was my first event ever. I had a great time. Met a lot of great people. Got to hook up. But I got to reconnect with Golden Boy, our boy Alex Mendez. Had a great time with him. And just met a lot more friends. Got to meet all the other UGC hosts, and that was a really good time. So hopefully might be doing some work with them, you know, now that I kind of know them and we all know each other a little bit better. So a lot of great time. But, you know, because of that event, we did have to kind of take a break from doing the shows. And in that time, shit has gone down in the Smite community. So we have a lot to talk about. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it. There isn't a show after us tonight. So our restraints, our limiters are a little bit off. So if I end up ranting for 3 hours, I end up ranting for 3 hours, much to my producer's chagrin. They're telling me they're waving me off. No, stop. No, please. But I'm here for the people. And I got some stuff to say. I don't even know where to start, but I think the place that we are going to start today is with Collegiate Smite. I think that is the most logical thing, as it just happened, and then we'll kind of go back and talk about some other things. But Collegiate Smite. So, in years past, Collegiate Smite has been handled by AVGL, and it's been handled in a very particular way, where they understand that Smite is not the biggest game, so a single college campus is not going to be able to produce a ton of Smite players. It's just, you know, mathematics, statistics. You can't field a Smite roster in a bunch of these colleges. So they did it by regions. Regions are, you know, Northeast. So if you were in New York, if you were in like Philly, if you were in Toronto, stuff like that, that is, you know, Northeast, you know, that whole region. And, you know, if you were a player in there, you could hook up with other players in there and form a team and then compete. But y'all had to be, you know, college students. And that was the way it was done for forever until last year, where they moved over to NAC Esports or NACE, which is trying to become the NCAA of esports. But nobody likes the NCAA. And now nobody likes NAC. Last year, they, you know, opened it up to both NACE students, NACE schools, and non-NACE schools. Most schools, because this is a relatively new organization, and to be a part of NACE, there are fees, there's dues, it costs money. And you have to have your school designate your esports program as varsity. So that comes with a lot of, that's a charged word in the academic sphere. Varsity esports. Not a very easy thing to convince a, you know, high profile board of. So a lot of schools aren't a part of NACE, and they joined the Smite NACE season anyway as a non-NACE school. And they still abided by all the other rules, you know, 2.0 grade average, all those things like that. You still have to deliver all of those things. But you just, you aren't penalized for being outside of the NACE system. And lo and behold, the top three, top four, maybe even more, but I know for a fact that the winners, UIUC, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, with Meerkat and the boys, they won it all, non-NACE. Carleton, our Canadian Smite brothers, non-NACE. RIT, the Tigers, the best team in the whole goddamn tournament, non-NACE. Do you see the trend? Top teams in the Collegiate Smite system, not part of NACE. Well, that was all fine until today, where they started requiring, if you want to play Collegiate Smite, you have to be in the NACE system. I'm sorry, I'm banging my table, my desk all around, the webcam's going everywhere, but I'm a very passionate man about the subject. I'm reporting it, and I'm mad. So you have to be an NACE member. After no communication with the public, no communication with the community, all of a sudden today, here September 18th, 2 months before we have DreamHack Atlanta, which is going to be the finale of the season. The finals are going to be played there. 2 months before we finally get, you know, the college season's here. And what do they do it? You have to be an NACE member school. Okay, can we just apply to get that? No, of course not. Registration membership ends June 1st, and you got to pay that fee. Is anybody grandfathered in? Heck no. How many teams from the previous season who played at a high level are going to be able to make it in there? Less than half. So here we are. Collegiate Smite. You know, Smite's already a small esport. You know, it's hard enough to field the team in college. You know, the AVGL had its problems. Sure, you had Mando Warriors. You had your Sanford Soccer. You had all of these pro minor league players, you know, high profile players who, you know, came down the collegiate level and kind of kicked everybody's ass. But you had surprise teams come in too. I'm close to RIT because I coached them. I brought them in. You know, we got to the gauntlet round. We played second only behind Stony Brook with Mando Warrior. And I think Sam Soccer was also on that team. And then in NAC, with that same roster, basically, we got third. And now they're not allowed to play Collegiate Smite. That just sucks. Yes, there are other community tournaments. Yes, you have Smite Prime. Yes, you have the Obey League. Yes, you have Exilium. But that's not Collegiate Smite, right? That's different. When you have this Collegiate Smite League, I get what you're trying to do, NAC. I really do. But I really hope you listen to the community here and at least grandfather in UIUC and Carleton. You know, RIT got third. You know, if we fucked away our chances of getting grandfathered in because we didn't make top two, fine. But Carleton and UIUC, at least, as the guys who went to the finals last year, should be able to play again. UIUC, at the very minimum, should be able to defend their championship. I don't know what to say. It's an ongoing matter. There's people talking behind the scenes, but it doesn't look good. If I'm NAC, I don't bend to the Smite community. You know, I'm trying to establish a thing. I'm trying to make a whole ecosystem. So you have to adapt with me. I don't have to hold myself back to you. I get it, NAC, but for goodwill, grandfather people in, or waive the fee just for Smite. Create a special designation or something. I don't know. There's got to be a way. Because if it doesn't, you're not going to have, you know, a lot of eyeballs. You're not going to have a lot of competition. You're not going to have a meerkat this year to put eyeballs on your product, right? You weren't going to have meerkat anyway, right? Because you can't have minor league players. But this just cements that. And everybody's going to hate you. No one's going to host it. Who are you going to get to cast it? You're going to get J-Mac to cast it? Probably not. If I'm J-Mac, you know, I stand with the players. You know, I don't like this, so I abstain from, you know, doing any casting this. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. We did, however, after a year or so of silence, AVGL has come out of hiding and has said, hey, we see everybody hates this. We're willing to come back. Tell Hi-Rez, tell Skillshot, give us back the contract and we'll take care of the players. If we can apply the pressure to Skillshot, and if NACE doesn't do it and this season flops, I don't understand. I don't know what the agreement is. I don't know if NAC is, you know, paying Skillshot, or if Skillshot's paying NAC, or how that partnership works. But if this year flops and Skillshot's like, yeah, you know what? This doesn't do anything for us anymore. I could see maybe AVGL getting that contract back. AVGL still has pool, still has like name recognition. NACE still kind of doesn't in comparison. So we'll see how that shakes up, how that really happens. And, you know, I want to say more. I want to get dirty into it, but, you know, I think I've said enough. So we'll move forward on to our next topic, which is the minor league. And the minor league itself was rife with drama and everything. There's so much to break down here. I think, you know, I'm just going to address it head on. We're going to talk about SSG Gold and their roster and everything that went around that. There are a lot of takes on this. There's a lot of emotion, a lot of feelings involved, and there's a lot of different aspects that I probably won't get into. I'm going to ignore some of the outside controversy that fed into this and focus more on the actual league implications, everything like that. So the Space Station Gold team has always been a stream team. You know, that's how we got... That's from the word go. Well, as soon as that roster was announced, it was a stream team. And you can't fully fault Space Station. We can point fingers like, hey, you didn't put this roster together to compete for a title. You know, you didn't put together to win the league. You put it together to get, you know, return on investment. We know you did that. Like, you can't say you didn't. You can't tell me that you put that roster together to try to win the whole damn thing, to get a spot at Worlds, to try to win Worlds, or even get into the bracket of Worlds. You can't tell me that. So they initially didn't scrim. We did get word that they did finally start scrimming a little bit. Cool. Dope. There looked like there was some life in there. And then the wheels kind of fell off, right? You know, the game started to get forfeited. You know, there was, you know, they couldn't be broadcast. The information came out. And there was some controversy between, you know, the team and the players there. Basically, you know, you're told if you are going to be on broadcast, right? However, as a part of that, you are always subject to be bumped to broadcast. That is always something that can happen. So showing up in anything less than a professional outing, kind of a bad move. And we had some teams do that. Or a team specifically do that. And, you know, some the week before, you know, they played against Exilium, and Skillshot used the wrong footage or whatever. And they said, oh, we can't use this because the wrong name. But that was like the week before, everything like that. So, like, there was a lot of stuff in the air on both sides. You know, the SML wasn't the smoothest run ship. From a player's point of view or the admins. So you had that. And then you had SSG unit, their GM, I believe he is, kind of, you know, put it out on Twitter, replied to something that they no longer had anything to do with that team. And that kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. They had dropped the team, pulled out support, everything. And all they had was their SPL team. And then I think that's also around the time we had like a little bit of a break with minor league. So we're waiting to see, okay, what happens? Are they going to get a new org? Are they going to change teams? Who gets the spot? Like, what happens here? The roster got the spot, right? And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. They run it down mid. Fastest game that didn't involve an F6 in Smite competitive history. And everything explodes, you know, criticisms flying on both sides, fines are coming in, twit longers are being made, and it's, you know, high alert drama season. We get some stuff from Matty Pocket, who is the lightning rod of hate on that team, you know, whether fairly deserved or not, I'm not here to say, you know, I will always say the way that he played in the SML was perfectly fine skill-wise for an SML player. He was an SML caliber support. I won't, you know, trash his ability to play the game. but it's the professionalism. So, right. And apparently all of this was due. I mean, many factors, but the one of the things that came out in like a twit longer and some like screenshots was that they wanted to make their own team name, you know, but Skillshot said, no, you have to use the name that we're going to give you. Manny didn't like that. Told Vinny to suck a dick, to which Vinny said, unfortunate, and became one of the greatest memes the Smite community's ever seen. There's also a whole piece about content and pro players in there, and that Maddie Pocket and Choppo are worth more than the whole SML. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to touch that. That is a open sore that I won't get into with a 10-foot pole. It's too many things to get in there. So you have high-res kind of... I will say, out of that twit longer, it does not... That twit longer did not exonerate, you know, the behavior. You know, you had Oswald who came out and said, you know what? I didn't want to troll. I wanted to scrim. I wanted to do this, but I did go along with it. So I deserve whatever punishment I get. It's fine. You know, Oswald does play the victim card a little bit. He should get off a little bit unscathed. Do I believe it? Probably. I've talked to Oswald. I like Oswald. So I kind of believe it. But he does play the victim card, right? I think he deserves a spot in the SML. I would, there's just, you know, that spot. They, all of those guys got kicked out. Uzzy, Choppo, Oz, Mask? No, not Masked. I forget. I don't even know who that team is anymore. But they all get booted. So that is an open roster spot. And they're going to fill it with a team. And that team is going to get the rest of the money that that spot was promised. Which opens up a whole other can of worms that's kind of been forgotten. Because you have Hype Unit, the number one team in the league, who's not getting paid. And this middle of the pack slot is about to get that payment. And, you know, you have Hype Unit who came up from the Combine, you know, relegated in or promoted in. You've got Exilium who got promoted in. The fairest thing is Hype Unit. You know, this the levels of fairness. They give the paid slot to Hype Unit and bring in whoever as an unpaid team. That's 100% fair. I don't think anybody can argue with it. That is like the most fair scenario. Fair scenario, but doesn't make a lot of sense, is they break up the payments between Hype Unit and Exilium. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Exilium is the bottom place team. They don't deserve it, but you know they deserve it more than some random team just being given it, right? Hype Unit definitely deserves it. Exilium probably not. And then the most unfair option, like 1, 2, 3, is that some random team that gets put together gets this paid slot. So it'll be really interesting to see how this all shakes out. I feel like the paid slot, I mean, we have what next week the new team should be announced, right? Or was that this week? I'm unsure. I don't think there was a team that played under that name today. I don't know. I need to look into that. I don't think I caught anything with that. But that's the drama, right? As a part of that, Taco is no longer a part of Skillshot. Apparently, that's been in the plan for months. Yes, she got a lot of hate, undeservedly so. But she also put herself in a lot of positions to get hate. You know, her comments about, you know, a bunch of pro players. You know, her comments about content, things like that. Did she get a lot more flack than she probably deserved? Yes, absolutely. But she did get some deserved flack. And a lot of the time, not handled the best on both sides, right? That's the thing. All of the, what it comes down to in the Smite community more than anything is both sides are fucking wrong. One side will jilt the other and the other will respond too much. And then the other side reciprocates. It's an ongoing circle. It's a spiral of death. One side does something dumb and the other side does something dumber and the other side does something dumber. It just, that's the way the community has worked for a long time. And it needs to stop. witch hunts need to stop. Accountability needs to go up across the board. You know, there's a fine system in place that needs to be used. There needs to be, above all, I feel like there isn't a courtesy level of respect. Or maybe there was. There was a courtesy level of respect. And now there isn't, because it's been eroded away. You know, we are effectively 7 seasons deep at this point. That's a lot of history. That's a lot of grudges. That's a lot of growth and change and just stuff happening. So, I don't know. There's definitely bad blood in the Smite community, but we can also rise above it. You know, we've harped on that horse so many times. I don't know how many more times we can harp on it. So let's take a look at our minor league rankings going into about the halfway point for the phase. We're going to start with our NA rankings, I believe. And, you know, looking at it, we've got Hype Unit at the top. They've had one loss. You know, they've got a plus minus of 8. Really coming out strong. I didn't think that they would be this strong. I really truthfully didn't. They've shown that they are a team to be reckoned with. Sanguin also looking really strong. Has won the same amount of sets, but dropped one more game. They got a plus minus of 6. Still looking like a very strong team. You don't let Yarkor have King Arthur. You just don't do it. Kid looks amazing on the god. I don't understand why anybody let them play it. Armada kind of falling a little bit, also with 5 set wins, but looking deservedly weakest out of all of those other teams. You got the Grim Depths, which I'm not sure is actually a team that played this week. I will be looking for confirmation. If anybody in the chat can tell me if there was a Grim Depths roster that was fielded. I know they're actively looking, but I'm not sure if that happened. Team Cryptic, looking to have the legs beneath them a little bit now. Obviously, having been the benefactor of some forfeitures, as well as Exilium, having a set win from a forfeiture. But finding a win against Armada, and, you know, they had the win against SSG Gold. And is there one more? I think maybe they've won a game on Cryptic. I'm not sure. But Exilium, looking like the weakest team in the league. Just being outclassed, not able to do it. And, you know, I won't go too much in the depth of that. As their former coach, I have an amount of respect, so I won't, you know, really get into what I feel like the problem might be and stuff like that. It's not fair to them. But, you know, something's got to change with that squad. Maybe just, you know, we always see this, you know, my go-to is always when Burrito and the other team, Poppies, when they kind of were brought up into the SPL and they could play the first 15 minutes of Smite with anybody, but after that they couldn't. I get the same vibes out of Exilium. They look really good. They have a lot of promise, but at the end of the day, they just can't seal the deal. They throw just as good as Space Station Gaming does. And if they can figure out how to kind of stay composed in those moments, they'll be good. They've made roster changes. They now have Baron Airy in the mid lane and Data Remember in the ADC role. We'll see how that impacts the game. They did find a win against Armada, but Armada looking like a weaker version of themselves, even with Baskin is still in the solo lane. They're not quite there, or they're just not coasting in. They're not just dominating like they were in the first part of the season. So we'll see if they can come back and really make a run and find their dubs going into like the open bracket for Worlds. It's a lot closer in NA. It's up for grabs a little bit more than it is in EU. So speaking of EU, let's go across the pond and look at our EU minor league rankings. At the top is Flashpoint, tied, dead even tie between Flashpoint and Simplicity, both of which dropped games this weekend. I think that's really important. This is an outdated graphic, I believe, but I think these standings are all the same. It's going to be interesting how the minor league for EU pans out, because Flashpoint has a history of crumbling at the finish line. And as we get closer to Worlds, you know, we're having to see them stumble again. They dropped a set to Horizon Union, something we would not expect to see. And on at the same time, it's completely something we expect to see. During that set, they dropped the game. And I was like, the most Flashpoint thing to do, the most on-brand thing that Flashpoint could do, that roster, is to lose this set to Horizon Union now. And they did. And it hurts to see. This squad has so much potential, but something about when the lights are brightest, when the pressure is on, when they are pressed to deliver, when they're in the home stretch, things start to fall apart. And we saw that in the last phase too. They didn't have the greatest end. They just happened, their whole season, their trip to LAN came down to them playing out cold. And out cold choked harder this year as a team than anybody else. So they got lucky. But now, Quesos kind of showed up. Simplicity, still a force to be reckoned with. If Flashpoint start dropping games and they can't seal the deal, they're not going to get to land. They're not going to punch their ticket to Worlds. I could see it happening. I think Simplicity is probably a shoe-in. Queso could make a run. Out Cold is starting to get better, put things together. Rising Union, they did take down Flashpoint. If they go undefeated the rest of the thing, maybe they've got it. And then Exordium, just looking like EU. Exilium. I think Agro said it best. If you want to get into the SML or SPL, don't name your team anything that starts with EX. Just not a good idea. EX teams are not looking good. Minor league, it is what it is. It's top heavy, but things are kind of heating up in that top phase. There's a very big distance between top teams and bottom teams. But there's a lot more volatility in that, where bottom teams can take those games off of top teams in a best of three set. It happens. I still think it'll probably be Flashpoint, Simplicity, and Hype Unit and Armada as the teams who move forward from the minor league. I don't think there's any evidence to really go against that. So we'll see. And that's it. That's all I got to say about the minor league today. Moving forward, we have the pro league. And there's a lot of storylines kind of in play. We'll start off, we'll take a look at the standings going into this week. So we got games tomorrow. At the top of the board, we have Team Rival. Because you got to remember, this is all collective between phase one and phase two. You know, Rival sitting there with a plus minus of 22. You know, Dignitas having, you know, the wins, but they have a lot of game fives. So you've got Rival, Dig, PK, Renegades, E-United, Splice, SK, Obey, Space Station Gaming, and Luminosity. And I think the biggest storyline I want to touch on right off the bat is probably this Space Station Gaming roster. I think you could make an argument that the worst team in the league might be Space Station Gaming. They don't look good. Something needs to change. They do not play well together. They don't want. Something is wrong. Alpha Jackal came in and they haven't looked any better for it. Sino came in. They haven't looked any better for it. What can you do? What can you expect from this team? Something has to change. Bear has had his moments. Bear is probably consistently the best looking player on this team. The rest of his teammates just can't get it done. If I'm SSG, is it too late? Do you ride it out? Do you try to pick up a new roster moving forward in the next year? Does SSG even stay in the league since they pulled out from the SML and their SPL team is doing so bad? Does SSG realistically stay in Smite? I don't know that they do. As a competitive org, they might stick around as a streaming org, but it might not make fiscal sense for them to stick around as a pro team. I don't know. There's just something about this team that doesn't work. You know, I got ridiculed for saying, trade Aquarius for Deathwalker, and I think both PK and SSG get better. And I still kind of stand with it. Just something, a change of pace somewhere on this roster would do just a world of good for this team. And PK, on the other flip side of things, they're number three in the standings. However, if we look at the games that PK has won, I don't really think any of them have come from a top-tier team. And that's a problem. They get 3-1 by Dig. They get 3-2'd by Splice. They 3-1 Obey. Right? It's like, okay, they beat the team they're supposed to beat. But apart from that, what do? A whole lot of nothing. Right? Like, they 3-1 SK. Okay, good. Good for them. They get 3-1 by Rival. They haven't beat a top team since they beat Renegades last phase. They don't beat Rival. They don't beat Dig. And I'm pretty sure at the end of phase one, didn't they lose to I want to say United, but I could be wrong on that one. I don't know. It's something's wrong with PK. They can't do it. And I said from the get-go that they would probably not sniff Worlds. I bet on that at the start of the year. Didn't like the roster. I don't think they can do it. They just don't have fluidity to go the distance. And Mealsy looked really good. He's had his moments. Vote's had his moments. Deathwalker's had his moments. I think Adapting has probably had his worst year on record. That's more of a feel thing. I don't know the stats behind that. And then Zeros. Zeros is an interesting monster, right? Because you can't deny his skill at the game. But you also can't deny his record. The only championship he's ever won was as a coach, right? It's the best run he ever had. Got booted from Dig. They picked up Hurry. They picked up Nate. And I think this tells you a lot about the player that Zeros is. There's not a guy on that squad, I feel like, who can bring that team together. So I say, move Deathwalker and Aquarius, swap those guys. That doesn't solve that problem on that team either. Aquarius just doesn't have as big a personality. But I don't know that Deathwalker has a big personality either. You need somebody on that squad. Honestly, if I'm moving somebody on that team, and I need a leader, I don't even know if I can say this because everyone's going to hate it and I'm going to get roasted. But fuck it, right? If I'm making a change to that roster above all else, I probably look at jungle. I probably, if I'm playing my little, my career coach GM of the SPL, and I get a trade offer from Obey, Weaken for Adapting, I'd probably take that deal. The way Adapting has been playing, and his just style, I don't think it fits this team. It's one of those cases where the sum of their parts is less than what they are as individuals. I think if you take one component out and put somebody in who may be a lesser player, sure, not as skillful, but just fits the squad a little bit better, PK probably finds more wins. Every time I think that they can find their win, I want to believe in PK. They just don't work. There is something that doesn't quite turn in the right way. And I think if you want to make a run at Worlds, you got to make a change. You got to make it soon. So maybe it's not Weaken, right? Historically, Weaken has always struggled going in the latter part of the year. We've always kind of transitioned to a tank jungle latter part of the year. He doesn't do as well on the tank jungles. If we move into the tank jungle meta, I don't know, then Weaken probably doesn't become the guy. He doesn't become your option, right? However, that being said, he did play the Terra. He played the Guardians in the jungle work, and it didn't look awful. So, I don't know. But I think, I don't know, if I'm Adapting for Sam, if I'm SK, I don't think I really am going to win Worlds at this point after being beat down by the top teams. I don't know. I mean, we look at the rest of the squads, right? Renegades, you're not going to get Cherryo. Splice, no, you're not getting Scream. Space Station, could you get Sino? I don't think people are going to want to touch Sino at this point. You're right, because I think people have cooled off from him from his MVP run. And I don't think he was MVP of that series. I will die on the hill that Divios was the MVP of that series. You don't get Lazbro. You don't get Sino. Maybe Sam. Maybe Ice Ice. Ice Ice could be an interesting one. I don't know. They're just spitballing here, though. So, PK, just haven't been able to figure it out. On the other hand, though, you know, Rival still looks strong. Dignitas, strong, but exploitable. Still not the dominant team of the league. Renegades looking strong. Fallible, but when they click, they are the best team, hands down. Splice, coming down from the high of Basket and still looking strong, but a little bit more mortal. You know, I put out my personal power rankings, right? I think it's Renegades. I think it's Splice. Rival, Dig. At the bottom of that, I think there's an argument to be made that Pittsburgh Knights is below E-United at this point. But for, you know, not being ridiculed, I will put PK, E-United, SK, Obey, LG, SSG. That is my power ranking right now. I think SSG is the worst team in the league. And I think Obey has moved up maybe into that SK United tier. Maybe not quite United tier yet, but I think they've come a long way. They keep growing. I think there's a lot of potential with that squad. They're definitely not a team you sleep on. And I don't think Luminosity is a team you sleep on anymore either. They've done a lot of work. They're growing. And, you know, they have upside. I think there's only one. Well, I think SSG has the least amount of upside in the league right now. That's rough to watch, as they don't make any changes. They keep making the same mistakes. They keep falling apart. You just don't look good. If I had to guess right now, if who was going to win the whole damn thing, Rival, Renegade, Splice. Those are my top three teams. One of them is going to win Worlds. I don't think there's going to be an upset anywhere in that. One of those teams is winning Worlds, hands down. And it'll be fun to watch Worlds. I think it'll be fun to see the rest of the teams battle out. I think we could see upsets out of the finals bracket. I think we'd see upsets besides those three teams. But as far as those three teams goes, two of those, depending on bracket, are making it to finals. Looking ahead into our week this week, this is week number 8. 8 out of 13. So we're getting there, folks. We're over the halfway mark. We're over the hump. We've got Thursday's games, our E-United Pittsburgh Knights and Space Station Luminosity. And then Friday's games are Space Station Gaming Pittsburgh Knights rival E-United. E-United Pittsburgh Knights, gonna be a heck of a game. PK, if you don't want me to criticize you further, you have to win this set. Emilzy, please, I'm pleading for you, buddy. I'm pleading with you. Please win this game. Please win this set. I don't want to rank you below E-United, but I will. I will put you down there. I think E-United has every possibility of winning this game. They have looked really good. Emilito is, he's not quite to world championship form, but he's looking damn good. Benji's looking damn good. Kalas, Ice. Big man teams all looking damn good. They're looking like a 2.0 or a 1.0 or half point five, whatever. They're looking like a mini version of Renegade a little bit. They got a really good teamwork on paper, maybe not the strongest team, but together they work really well. They have that it factor that I would say PK is lacking right now. And I think that could be all the difference in this set. If I'm a betting man, I want to bet PK. But if I am listening to my heart and I don't have to put money down on this, I'm saying E-United wins this set. They've been impressing me. They've looked like they could go the distance. PK haven't been putting it together. But then again, this is a team that they also should beat. And they've been beating the teams they should beat, generally. So, who knows? I'm excited to see this game. Space Station Luminosity. I think Luminosity wins this. I think SSG just doesn't figure it out. I think SSG might go winless the rest of the year, as far as the set is concerned. I don't believe in them. And I think Luminosity has a lot of upside, and they've made a lot of changes. They've looked really good. There's a lot of potential still on that Luminosity squad with the changes that they've made. So, could be an upset, but it shouldn't be. I'm betting, man, if I'm putting money on this game, I'm putting it on LG. That's how little faith I have in SSG right now. That's bad times. Some years it just doesn't work. Look at SK from last year. Look at Funball. Funball went from the bottom team to now he won, you know, the midseason LAN and looks like his team is a favorite to win Worlds. Just because this team can't find wins now doesn't mean all the players are washed. They just need to go their separate ways. I don't want to see a team next year with Barra, Jeff, and Andy on it. They need to go their separate ways. I understand that the sex tank stays together, but maybe they shouldn't. Maybe we put Jeff on another team. Maybe Barra, you know, transitions away to another team. I think it needs to happen. Is that something we're prepared to see? Or would those guys just kind of retire at that point? It's not fun anymore. You know, they're not the youngest guys in the league. So how much longer are they going to stick around? I think Barra still got some years in him. Look at Zatman. Zatman's had a resurgence of his career this year. I think Barra, on a better team, we also say the same thing. I think Barra's had a great, phenomenal year. He's just been abused because of his team. It's hard to watch. Moving on into our Friday set of games, Space Station's got PK and they're just going to get obliterated. I don't really think we have to spend a lot of time here on PK SSG. If PK lose to SSG, oh boy. Oh boy, the things I'll have to say on both ends. But yeah, as SSG stand, virtually no chance of beating PK. I would put it, you know, 99.99% sure PK wins this game, wins this set. And then to end our week of games, we have Rival versus United. Should also be a really good game. Rival probably wins this set, but United could probably give them some trouble. We might see this as a 3-2 or a 3-1 in favor of Rival, but I don't think it'll be a 3-0. I would be very surprised if we see this go down as a 3-0. I think United is going to take at least a game off a Rival. But, you know, we'll get a little bit better of a measure of where United stands. I think out of the top teams, they are the first team out of the top. They have the best chance, I think, right now of a team breaking into the top. I think they could leapfrog Pittsburgh Knights into that category. I think Pittsburgh Knights was realistically the bottom team out of the top. So if you include Pittsburgh Knights in that, and all of a sudden they get passed by United, then all of a sudden United's the top team. And PK's the middle of the pack team. Which is rough to say, but I could definitely see it happening. So, Rival, United. If United win that, I mean, United could have a big week. They could beat Pittsburgh Knights and beat Rival. If they do that, that's amazing. I don't think they do. I think they can win one of their sets this week. And I think it's PK, and I think they lose to Rival. Rival just looks too good. Unless Rival dropped the ball. You know, unless we see the Rival that showed up at LAN in midseason show up, right? Where they don't know what they're doing. They're not working together. If we see that Rival show up, United wins this. But I don't think you can really count on that Rival showing up. They're playing really smart. They're playing angry. Yeah, they're still dropping games to Renegades, but Renegades is such a good team. It's hard to game plan for them. So I think Rival wins this, and I think, you know, the power rankings kind of get closer and closer to, you know, matching what the actual records are. And that's it. That's our week here in the Smite Pro League. Really interesting games. If you could only watch one, I'd probably say watch United PK, just because the implications of that on both sides, right? If United wins, they are leapfrogging Pittsburgh Knights in the power rankings. They are better than PK Knights. Pittsburgh Knights have fallen out of the top teams. If PK wins, they're riding the ship. They're getting their act together. They're beating a team that could potentially, you know, leapfrog them. So, first game of the day is going to be a big one. It's going to tell us a lot. We're going to learn a lot about the state of the Smite Pro League. Rival United, probably the second place game there. Kind of based on the same thing. United is a team aiming for the top. They've got, you know, a lot of opportunity here to make a run for Worlds. I think they are the dark horse team. If there was going to be an upset on my top three, it might be United who'd do it. You know, I don't think anybody else kind of has the pedigree, the been there before itness than United. You got to look at, Benji, world champion, Imelito, world champion, Collis, Ice, you know, finalists, and Big Man Tings. Well, he's been around. I don't know that Big Man's ever been like the big stage. I kind of have to look that up now. What is the highest that Big Man Tings has finished in the Smite Pro League? He got second. Oh no, that's he got second in the Fall Gauntlet. I think the highest he got third, fourth. And the World Championships, I guess. So not the greatest showings, but you know, not the worst either. He's had his moments. So I could see him. He's, you know, been doing really well. I could see him having a pomp off. I like a United squad. They are like, you know, I started the year off saying that Renegades is probably my favorite team. I think they have a really damn good shot if they all click. I think United's another team where if they all click, it'll make sense. And I think I've been proven wrong. They've come out the other side of the Vettium trade or the Vettium, you know, removal, Vettium for Immolito, and they've come out the other side looking better. And I was worried that that wouldn't be the case, that they would, you know, have their, they would struggle a little bit more trying to go through Immolito, but you know, great players like Immolito make it happen, and he certainly has. So that's it for our show this week. Thanks for joining, everybody. Still trying to get an interview lined up. There's just been a lot of drama, controversy, and I wanted to just talk to you guys, you know, after being on break. Wanted to take this time and just rant a little bit, vent, speak my mind. So next week I'll try and get an interview. I am actively talking to Mineral from Obey and having him on, so I think that'll be our interview for next week. And, you know, talking to a couple people about coming in for some guesting, co-host type stuff. So keep your eyes on Twitter and everything for updates on that. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you know, are watching this on our YouTube. If you don't know that it's on YouTube, go to our UGC YouTube page. You can also find this on every major podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, Google Music, I believe, and then anything that disseminates off that, so like Pocket Cast as well, will probably have this show. So go ahead and give us a download there. Give us a review. You know, that helps the show out, gets more visibility. And I will see you next time around the battleground. Goodbye, everybody.